Okay, welcome everyone. This is Cindy Silva. I'm hosting the call. This is Metaphysical Wisdom, Wisdom Wednesday. And we have with us Patty Ortel on the line. Can we get a hello from you, Patty?
Yes. Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for joining in today.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Well, I just want to give you a little information on Patty. Patty is a psychic medium, and you can find out more about her work and the services she offers at feelingforhealing.com. And a little bit about my relationship with Patty. Patty was one of my first website clients before Metaphysical Wisdom even existed. I had a bunch of website clients, and I recognized half of them were metaphysical, and that's when I started the Metaphysical Wisdom community to help people network. And I asked Patty if she wanted to be one of the founding community members, and she definitely did and agreed, and we've had this open arrangement and agreement that anytime she wanted to do a teleclass that she would just let me know. And so she recently contacted me about a new class she's been offering. I think this is the first time she's offering it over a teleclass, but she's been doing these in person, and it's the Calling All Light Workers. And today she's going to be talking about what a light worker is and the role of a light worker, and then how to balance and ground your energy so that you can be an effective light worker. All of you on the call, again, welcome. And Patty, welcome to you as well, and thank you for being one of the first community members and supporting this networking. And
you've grown, so I mean, it's so wonderful to see that community and that network of people out there, like-minded people. Kudos to you on your site. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. So tell us, this is the first time that you're doing the call, this version?
Yes, this is the first time I've done this as a teleclass. And how this class came about was, you know, I do a variety of classes. I've taught intuition development and mediumship and chakra balancing. And most of you know that I work as a Reiki practitioner. I actually work at my friend's spa, the Crown Jewel Spa and Salon. It's this five-star spa in the middle of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my friend said, why don't you do Reiki here? And I started doing that. And then she said, well, let's add on intuitive readings. And so we've been doing that, too, and it's worked out really good. So, you know, I've been teaching classes at the spa. And I work with a group of guides. I just call them the guides. I don't have a name for them, really. But they give me a lot of my messages and information in my dream time, and they'll wake me up. I'll hear Patty, and I try to open my eyes, but I can't get my eyes open. And so that's when I know they're talking to me, so I usually just lay there and I listen. And so back in September of 08, I hear, Patty, your next class is Calling All Light Workers! Exclamation point. And then I could see it kind of on my little green screen is what I call it, typed. And it had exclamation point after. I thought, wow, that sounds like a cool class. Well, then when I woke up, I wrote it down, but they didn't download any of the information for the class. And actually, it took a couple months later for that to happen. I was sitting at my computer, and then all of a sudden, I knew exactly how I wanted to do this class. Well, it's a three-hour class. And I do want to start teaching across the country. I taught it in Grand Rapids. They even gave me the date, 1/11. of 09, and what was interesting about that when I put on the schedule is 43 people signed up right away. So then I thought, okay, there are like these closet light workers, especially out here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, because these weren't even my normal students and clients. These are people that I didn't even know. And then I taught it in Minnesota in the Twin Cities a couple weeks later, and I had 33 people sign up. So it's a class geared to network people together, fellow like-minded light workers, let's say. And some of you might not even know, well, gosh, am I a light worker? What is a light worker? And we'll go over all of that today. So what I'm going to do is give you kind of the subset of the class where we'll talk for a little bit about the light worker, role of the light worker, and some of the things that the light workers are experiencing right now. And if this class does come to your city, I suggest that you take it even though you've had this one-hour teleclass, because the bulk of the class is where we all just introduce ourselves. And so it took an hour and a half in the first class because people would stand up and they would just kind of say what they do. And we had people from all walks of life. I had somebody that sold Verizon telephones. I had a school teacher. I had a Weight Watchers counselor. I mean, just all walks of life, but they all seem to have these certain themes in common, that which is characteristic of the light worker. And so I thought, you know, I really need to get this class out there, because there are so many people right now, including the light workers, that are struggling with some things. So that's what I really kind of want to talk about today. So if you have pen and paper, I suggest that you might want to take some notes, anything that sort of hits home for you. And what we'll do is I'll talk for a little while, then we'll open it up, maybe the last 10 or 15 minutes or so for questions. And then if we have time, I'll take you through just a short little, what I call light worker meditation, if that's okay with everybody. Okay, so let's start off with, well, what is a light worker? My definition of a light worker is someone who agreed before birth to come here on this planet and to be of service to humanity and or the planet. So I say who agreed before birth because I believe that we have these pre-birth agreements as to what our contract or our path is here in this lifetime. And so each light worker is here for a divine purpose, a sacred purpose. Well, gosh, you're probably thinking, well, how do I know if I'm a light worker? Well, there's certain characteristics of the light worker. And before I go over those, kind of a little checklist, there's a really good book out there called The Light Worker's Way by Doreen Virtue. And she wrote that quite some time ago. And when I first got on this path 6.5 years ago, I started doing the Reiki and readings and doing this professionally. That was one of the first books that gravitated towards me. And as I was reading it, it's kind of in two sections. The first section is about her and her life. The second section is about the light worker. And as I was reading that second part, I just woke up. It got me enthusiastic. I was passionate because I'm reading this book going, oh, my gosh, that's me, that's me. And I thought, this is just a really cool book. And I always recommend it to people. And when I teach this class, I always have several of these books available for people. So you might want to pick that up. It's called The Light Worker's Way by Doreen Virtue. So some of the information that I'm going to give you today is from her book. And then I did get an email a couple years ago that was sort of going around the internet, and it was called, you know you're a light worker if, dot, dot, dot. And I had this sort of checklist on there. And I wish I could credit the person that created it, but it was forwarded so many times that I don't know where it came from. So some of this will come from that email as well. So, you know you're a light worker if you feel an inner calling. You know there's a higher purpose for you. You might not know exactly what it is, but there's a calling. Your soul is calling to you. You have some sort of purpose out there. One of the key things that I always ask people is, have you felt probably your entire life that you've never fit in or that you're different? Because most of the light workers will say, yeah, all the way going back from grade school, I was different. I felt like I never fit in. Well, I can tell you now that with these energy shifts that are happening, the light workers are going to start to feel a lot more comfortable in their skin. Because that's another thing people will tell me. I just don't even feel comfortable in my own body. And that's going to start to shift. You know you're a light worker if you're passionate about the world's social problems, environmental problems. Light workers tend to find causes and get involved. Or another thing is sometimes we all have just a very low tolerance factor for things, especially any political corruption or somebody that's lying to us or that cheats. We just have such a low tolerance factor, and therefore one of the signs that you're a light worker is that you are impatient. So we think that we have to be these patient people, but we really aren't. We're like, give us the next thing. So one of the main things is that if you feel like you've never fit in and that you feel like you have this deep calling, that there's some sort of purpose for you. Now, many light workers have had mystical type experiences or psychic experiences or angelic encounters. A lot of people will say that they feel that their third eye is opening up, that they're becoming more intuitive. Many light workers have endured some harsh life experiences, and sometimes that tends to erode what you might think is maybe your divine perfection. And so those harsh life experiences are because you can handle it. Most light workers are old souls. They've been here for many lifetimes, kind of been around the block. And each time we come around, sometimes we choose either more obstacles or some heavy obstacles. And that is so that you can become the teacher. Now, many light workers feel compelled to write or to teach or to counsel. You know, I've found it because there is that service part. The service is the key word here. Is, you know, you're a light worker if you feel a call to be of service. Maybe you feel a call to be of service to animals, maybe planetary issues, environmental issues. But whatever it is, there is that service part. Now, I kind of found that there are sort of three groups of light workers. I call, and I just made up the names. Seasoned group, those are the ones that have been doing this for years. I mean, maybe we used to call them the 60s flower children, but they've been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years, the light worker business, and a lot of them had to be in the closet most of the part. Then the second group I've noticed is what I call the millennium light workers, where they were woken up to this path around the millennium. Mine kind of started back in 1997 because I always knew I was clairvoyant because I'll never forget what happened to me when I was 6 and when I was 7. Now, in middle school, high school, I cut it all off because I was different and I wanted to fit in and people were making fun of me and I thought that my father would have me committed. He is strict Catholic, born in Italy. He still, to this day, does not know that I'm a medium. So I kind of kept it in the closet. But then when my kids were little, I noticed my daughter was clairaudient. She could hear out of both of her ears. My son is clairvoyant. So that brought back a lot of memories of my childhood. And then I thought, I'm not going to do this to them. I'm going to foster this. And so as I'm fostering their abilities, mine are opening back up again. So I am what I call a millennium light worker. Because it was 97, 98, I started kind of buying these metaphysical books, and one of the first books I read was Talking to Heaven by James Van Praagh, and that really opened up some things like, gosh, he has so many things that were similar to his upbringing with mine, and so I could really relate to that. So I would say it really sort of got turned on around the year 2000, 2001. Now, the third group of light workers I call the newbies. And when I taught the class in Grand Rapids and we had 43 people, as they introduced themselves, they would say, well, I'm a seasoned light worker. I mean, they knew what group they fell in. I'm a millennium. Or someone would say, well, I'm a newbie. I just now got woken up to this. And this is the first experience taking this class. And so there isn't one any better than the other. We're all light workers. It's just, when is it that you sort of got woken up to this path, to this inner calling? And I can tell you, once you're on the path, there's no going back. It probably because it feels right. It's in alignment with your soul. Many people are discovering kind of their psychic senses are opening up. And with the psychic senses, you know, I call them the clairs. Some people know that they can see on their inner screen, clairvoyance. Some people are, their strong suit is maybe clairaudience, the hearing, or clairsentience, which is the feeling. And some people have all the clairs. And so a lot of light workers are really very intuitive. And some of you are just starting to open up to your abilities, and others have been on this path for quite some time. One thing I noticed is a lot of the light workers are very sensitive to energy and energy shifts. And that's where we have to talk about balance a little bit later, because some of you are highly empathic, and you can pick up on global events like this earthquake in Haiti. I was able to pick up on the 9/11 thing, and the Friday before 9/11, I made my husband cancel our trip to Florida, which was scheduled for September 12th. And I was in the fetal position. I was crying and depressed for 2 days. But I didn't know what it was, but I could feel the global intensity of it. And now, if something like that happens, I will just meditate and send love and light to it and send Reiki to it, because I don't need 2 days of my time to be down crying in bed. And I need to be doing something about that. And that something is just sending the energy to where it's originating and send it with love and light if you have to meditate on it, but you really don't want it to affect you physically. And I've noticed that's been kind of my downfall. I'm empathic and I pick up on everybody's everything. So I have to work on grounding myself. I always go outside and walk if I can. I have to stay in my body because it can take a toll on you. So I know there are many of you on the line right now that are highly empathic. So if you have any specific questions at the end, please feel free to jump in and maybe I can help you with that. Now, here's some things, I call them light worker symptoms. Here are some things that the light workers tend to sort of go through, a lot of them physically, some emotionally. Body aches and pains. The light workers tend to get pains in the neck, shoulder area, just sort of achy. Sometimes digestive. I would say the last 3 years or so, I noticed a pattern with the light workers, and they were all getting like these digestive problems and heartburn, and they were getting endoscopies and colonoscopies, and their tests are all coming out fine, but they still have these digestive problems. Well, now I noticed a huge shift in 2010, and it's moving up to the heart. And I'm not, don't worry, like you're not all going to go off and have heart attacks. But if you're having some dizziness and if you're having some heart palpitations right now or some vertigo, it's the energy shifting and moving up. And another thing that I'm sort of intuiting is this shift that's coming, all these shifts, the shift of consciousness, especially with this 2012 shift, the energy is going to be moving up. I bet you in 2011 I see the light workers having some throat issues, a laryngitis or sore throat or clearing your throat. And then even probably 2012 moving up to that third eye. So the key is to just, you know, definitely go to the doctor if you're getting, you know, any symptoms, physical symptoms, anything. But if you do test after test and everything comes out negative, you have to know that your body is trying to catch up to your vibration of your energy body. And it's just a shift, and you just need to ride it out. So if you need to take some Tylenol or ibuprofen or essential oils or whatever it is that you're saying to do, by all means you need to do that. But this is what I found in the last few years happening to the light workers. Now here's another thing. Some of you will have this deep inner sadness for no reason. You may cry for no reason. That's okay. It's almost like, you know, I'm going to be moving to Arizona in 5 years. It's that feel of leaving Michigan. The excitement of going to Arizona, like there's something new out there and there's a path for me. But then there's the sadness of leaving the old. And so that's something that the light workers are going through. And some of them in my class even said, gosh, I'm depressed. And but they don't really want to go on an antidepressant. The light workers tend to get sad because they tend to sort of carry the burden of others and global burdens as well. And so at the end of my little lecture here, I am going to give you some steps on what the guides downloaded to me on how to resolve some of these, quote, symptoms. Some light workers are just really fed up with their jobs right now. So maybe you don't like what you're doing. A lot of light workers tend to switch careers. And the deep inner calling a lot of times is to do light worker type work, so to speak, but, you know, maybe it's not paying very well, or, you know, like when I first started out doing readings, it was a very slow process. So I didn't quit my day job. I was teaching computer classes at a university, and I taught Word and Excel and PowerPoint, so I didn't quit my day job, but I knew that this was my path, so I did this on the side, and I took Reiki on the side. And then I transitioned into full-time because I knew that that was what I wanted to do. So there, you may also feel sort of a lack of passion. That's okay. It's okay to sit and do nothing sometimes. Right now, a lot of the Lightworker friends of mine are just calling me up and saying, God, I'm just not excited about anything. I have no passion. I have no drive. And it, a lot of Lightworkers feel lonely. Lightworkers are friendly people. And so we have friends and we have family, but gosh, we still feel lonely. And, you know, the only thing about that is sometimes you just have to sit with that. And then I tell you, going outside, being outside in nature has really helped me with a lot of these things. Just stepping outside, the guides always say, just go outside and breathe. You might notice some unusual sleep patterns. You might be waking up in the middle of the night between 2 and 4. Especially now it seems people are telling me it's between 3 and 5. We call it the 3 to 5 club. That's okay. Your guides are getting you up in the middle of the night because that is when you are silent. Your brain has shut off. The chatter in your head is shut off, and they can sort of get to you. And so it may be frustrating if you can't fall back asleep. And for probably 6 months to a year, that was happening to me. And then I finally started talking to the guides, and I said, okay, I know you woke me up. Sometimes I have a message. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes there's a song in my head. I started to sleep with a journal on my nightstand because sometimes I would just write something down, and then I'd be able to fall asleep, go back to sleep. But just ask them to help you get back to sleep when they wake you up. Don't be surprised if there are some withdrawals from family relationships or friends. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to stick it through with family members and the whole blood is thicker than water type of thing, but it's just a vibrational thing. You are not on their frequency, so there might be certain family members or friends or acquaintances that you're just not on the same wavelength as them. And what happens is because that light worker has a higher frequency in their field, and some people take it as an ego thing, and it's not an ego thing. The light worker, the vibrational light worker tends to be higher than, say, about 80% of the planet. So like with me, I work at a spa, and sometimes it's hard for me to go into the break room because our break room sometimes has some trauma going on in there, and it can be very draining. And so I'm just not on the same frequency as some of my coworkers. And so if you have a job that where that happens, where you just feel like, gosh, so some of you might feel like you're a misfit, and it gets lonely. And so there are some techniques that you can do to get your field back up. A lavender bath is one of the best, or anything with lavender will help cleanse the aura. Again, going outside, aromatherapy, smelling something that maybe takes you back to a certain place, or sometimes I'll smell oils from the spa that gets me back. Another thing the light workers are experiencing are intense dreams. And sometimes they're weird and goofy, and sometimes you don't remember them. Some of you are having actual dreams about being in a battle and chasing monsters and chasing things. That's okay. That's just your guides giving you that dream, reminding you that you are in the light. Some of you are experiencing physical disorientation, kind of getting a little bit dizzy. Again, that's the vibrational thing. It's just your physical body has got to sort of catch up to your energy body. Another thing, too, is many of you are experiencing a deep longing to go home. And by home, I mean the other side. I'm not saying the light workers are suicidal by any means, because we're not, because we know we have this path and we have this inner calling that we have something to do here. But many of you are attracted to the night sky or the blue sky. Or you'll go out and you'll stare at the stars and you'll just say, just beam me up, Scotty. Get me off this planet. This is a hard planet to be on. There are a lot of challenges here, and especially for the light workers. Many of you have probably heard of Lee Carroll. He channels an entity called Kryon, K-R-Y-O-N. And he had an engineering background and sort of a scientist type brain, and left brain thinker, and all of a sudden this just hit him out of the blue doing this channeling work. But in one of his books, he talked about the light workers being able to affect, one light worker can affect up to 144,000 people. And so you do have this job here, and sometimes it gets frustrating. And so you go outside and you're looking at the stars and you're going, oh, just get me off this planet. That's okay. You know, sometimes it can be a lonely journey and it can be dark at times, but it's highly, highly rewarding. And so one of the things that you're probably noticing is that you've been seeing the number 11, and I've been seeing the number 11 for years. Some of you may just now be starting to see that number, or you have been, but you're not sure why you keep seeing 11s. Well, to me, the 11 is the number of the light worker, the number of enlightenment. And it's almost like a little wake-up call that you sent yourself. When you see the 11s, especially 11:11 on the clock or 1:11, or you'll see the number somewhere else, and I see it all the time. I'll be on the internet, and I've got 1,111 unread messages or something. You know, it's like it's just popping up all the time for me. And that is the number of the light worker. And when you see that number, just stop, monitor your thoughts. Some people will say make a wish. Really, it's the time to manifest. It's like a stargate or a gateway when you see that 11. Send your thoughts. Upload them to your guides. Send them your thoughts. Send them your dreams. Send them what you want to manifest. Or ask for their help. But that 11, I think, is sort of designed to make us chuckle or make us say, I call it a little hello from heaven. When sometimes I'm down and out, especially today, I had sort of a interesting phone call with someone. And when I got home, I thought, oh, gosh, I don't know. I look up at the clock, it's 11:11. I just started to laugh. So you'll start to see that. And just say hello to your guides at that time when you see that number. You can also Google or look up in numerology books what else that number 11 represents. But for you light workers, it really is this wake-up call, kind of that you set yourself. You sent it before you even came here, that you're going to pay attention to the 11s, and it'll probably just make you smile now from now on. There's a couple things that I do want to talk about before we go into the question and answer, and one of them is something called lightworker syndrome. There are some lightworkers that I've met that are very talented, but tend to get maybe a little off balance with things. So I call that lightworker syndrome when you can't stay grounded and you're too much into the esoteric. If you find yourself, I mean, this can be very, very rewarding work. And especially when I first started giving the readings, I loved it because if I had a validation I could give somebody, that just made my day, made their day. But it's very rewarding. In the beginning, I liked it out there in the esoteric, and I realized that some family things were suffering. Maybe I would miss dinner a couple nights because I'm off doing a reading here and there. So you really need to try as much as you can to stay balanced. But this lightworker syndrome, another aspect of that is some of the lightworkers want to do this work, but they can't figure out how to live, you know, their purpose as a lightworker and feed themselves at the same time. So, you know, I am a big proponent of abundance. The universe wants to give us abundance. And so I've met some lightworkers here and there that feel that they are not worthy of extra money in their pocket or abundance. They feel that their job out there is to help people. And then you run into the, you know, where it's getting off balance, where they're off saving everybody. And that's not the purpose of the light worker. The light worker needs to make sure, you need to make sure you are balanced first before you go off and help others. Another part of light worker syndrome can be where the light worker actually fears their own power. And they're kind of afraid of maybe what it'll mean if they succeed. They fear that if they succeed, they'll have a lot of responsibility on their shoulders. So I've seen that happen too. Very, very talented people and what they do, and then they are their own worst enemy. And you can just see and smell their success, and then, boy, they pull in, and it's that fear, and it usually is around the responsibility aspect. I'm going to read you a quote right now from Marianne Williamson. This came out of one of her books, and I love this quote, this paragraph. And here's what she says. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I can't remember what book that came out of, but somebody send me an email if you want that to know what book that is, and I'll find it. So anyway, here's another part, if you want to call it lightworker syndrome. I call it runaway healers. There's a book by Carla McLaren. It's called Your Aura and Your Chakras. Now, I don't know, 7 years ago or so, I bought this book, and I couldn't read it. I couldn't understand it. It was so far over my head. And then it was like maybe 2-3 years later, I pick it up and I read it. I read it from cover to cover. I understood it. So there will be certain books that call out to you, and you'll know when you'll be able to read them or not. Well, anyway, in her book, she talks about a runaway healer. And runaway healers can be, of course, light workers. They want to serve or help. And they're very, very good at what they do, but they tend to get themselves off balance when they can't look inside or look in the mirror at anything that may be going on with them. So they put all of their things on the back burner, their health, their emotional health, their family issues, even job issues. Things go on the back burner because they have to go off and help everybody else. And so one way to identify a runaway healer is you just ask them, well, what is it that you like to do for yourself? And they'll probably get tongue-tied, and they won't be able to answer you. Or they'll say, well, I heal people. I'm a healer. I work with helping people and healing them and fixing their problems. So they'll get tongue-tied. They won't be able to say, oh, gosh, I like to walk in the park, and I love roller coasters. And then, oh, boy, chocolate is my favorite thing. They can't do that because they have to put all of their issues on the back burner. So one thing a runaway healer will do is they will try to get you to be dependent on them. They'll do a session on you if they're a Reiki practitioner or, okay, again, it could be all walks of life, but they'll say, oh, gosh, you know, we're going to have to talk again. We're going to have to meet again. They'll try to create these dependencies. So just sort of be on the lookout because there are many, many light workers, very, very talented at what they do. But, again, my big thing is in all aspects of life, you have to have balance. Okay, so that's going to be one of my things that I preach is finding balance. And also setting healthy boundaries because here's another thing you're going to notice. The light worker, again, the field vibrates at a higher frequency. So people are attracted to that frequency. You'll be the one in line at the grocery store and somebody's going to start a conversation with you. You'll be at some strange airport somewhere and somebody's going to come up to you and ask for directions. And so people will be attracted to your light and they're not even going to know why. So sometimes that can be draining. So you do have to set some healthy boundaries with people. And you have to try to remember if you are working with someone and you're helping them, that you don't get attached to their situation or their outcome, that you try to stay neutral with them. And one thing that I do is one of my mantras that I sort of say a lot is I'll keep saying to myself, I am the observer. Because when you find that you're working with somebody and there's a lot of drama, trauma, or chaos, if you get down involved in that, deep down into it, into their chaos, you become the participator. And so as a light worker, the guides came in one night and described to me about this, what they call the observation deck. And they said, as a light worker, you sit on your observation deck. You do not seek out others. They will seek you out. And you become the observer. So try to remember that if you find you're getting kind of drained into other people's things. Now, one thing when I downloaded this course book, which I kind of panicked for a little bit because they told me the name of the class in September, but they didn't give me the material till December. And so for a couple of months, I was like, where is this lightworker thing? Because I had a couple of ideas about the lightworker class, but I really didn't know really how to structure it or anything. And so they finally gave me the download, and at the very end of the download, it's kind of funny because they gave me 11 steps, and I titled it Lightworker Survival Tips. So the first thing the guide said was, number one, ritual. You need to have ritual. Meditation is very important, or quiet time, some type of ritual. Maybe it's an evening bath with some candles, but whatever it does, whatever you can do to just have that quiet time, will really, really help, and it will really help your field, especially if you're having any of those symptoms that we discussed. Number two, intention. Set clear intentions daily as you meditate. You might even want to have an intention journal, and every day write down what it is that you want to manifest. A year ago, last January, one of my main things to manifest was a house in Arizona. And by April, my husband and I had made an offer on a house in Arizona, and June 4th, we closed on it, which was my mother's birthday. So, and my mom's on the other side. And so I truly believe in being able to manifest anything that it is that you desire. And your guides, that's their job. Their role, and those in light, our relatives, friends and family, the guides, the angels, ascended masters, their role in light is to support us. And I always look at it like a diner. You know, I want that house in Arizona. It's my intention to have a house in Arizona. And one of my guides is going, oh, Patty wants a house. Order up. And the other one goes, I'm on it. I'll go out to Arizona and scout around. So they are there to support you. So they are always saying ask. At whatever it is, just ask, and it is given. It might not be given in the way we are thinking in our humanness, but they will hear every prayer, every intention is heard. Okay, number three, get to know your guides. How do you do that? Well, meditation and dream time. If you can't meditate, talk to them to say, I don't know who you are, I know you're with me, but could you come to me in my dream time? And they will. Maybe it won't be that night, but they will. And ask them to help you remember your dream when you wake up so that you can take notes. Your guides will give you names and information in your meditation and dream time. If you hear a name out of the blue, write it down. You didn't make it up. You just heard it out of the blue. The guides are androgynous. They are neither male or female. They are just energy and frequency and vibration. But because we're human, we want to be able to say he or she or Mary or Joe. And so they will come in as we need them, masculine or feminine. And with a name so that we can actually talk to them. So get to know your guides. Number four, they said, stay the course. Do not allow fear to make your decisions in these tumultuous times. Do not go outside for your answers. You must go within. So they're big on that, putting fear aside, putting a picture of your fear, make it something little that you can just blow away or shoo away, because fear is what makes us stagnant and stops us from moving forward. Number five, they said stay grounded. It's very easy for the light worker to get caught up in the esoteric, to get caught up out in the clouds, and it's fun out there. It's, you know, when you meditate, gosh, you can go places. It's like reading a book. You can just go places anywhere your imagination takes you. When you meditate, and the more you're used to meditating, you can get information. You can get messages. You can go places. But we are all here in human form. We chose to come here in human form in order to learn and experience in the physical. Why? So that our soul can evolve. So we have to stay grounded. We are in our bodies for a reason. So what you do is you go up and you touch that. You go up and you touch the esoteric, but you don't live up there. So you're meditating or you're going to bed at night. In your dream time, you'll go up and touch that, but you got to come back down. And I have a couple of clients that can't come back down. They are in that esoteric 24/7. And when I do Reiki on them, I don't even start at their head. I'm at their feet the whole time. So it's very important. We're here in the physical to stay grounded. Number six is really important. They said bring joy into your life. There's so many of us that are lacking joy. And so what they said to me one day was, they said, every day when you wake up, before your feet even hit the floor, tell yourself, what is it that I am going to do today that will give me joy? Maybe it's a piece of Godiva chocolate. Maybe it's a bubble bath. Maybe it's a massage or facial. Maybe I'm just going to go to the mall and turn my cell phone off, just walk around. So when you wake up, just think about, what is that piece of joy that I'm going to have for today? Sometimes I save my piece of joy for the end of the day. But bringing that energy in, even if it's just a little bit at a time, the guides want you to have joy. We are here to, in this life, not to suffer and have everything be miserable. And sometimes we feel that that's what's happening to us if we're going through some bad times. So bringing that piece of joy in is really going to be very uplifting. Number seven. Keep moving, they say. When you are not moving, and moving like physically, move your body. The light workers can get sad. The light workers can get depressed. If we have to lay in bed for the day, that's okay. If we have to take a nap, that's okay. The nap might be our piece of joy. But they don't want us to get stagnant. And so to release that stagnant energy is moving. So if you have to get outside, even going to the mailbox, or go for a walk, or do some yoga, whatever it is, keep moving. Number eight, go to the heart. Whenever you feel stressed or anxious or unsure, or for those of you that are empathic, just sit for a minute. Bring your energy to your heart chakra, your heart energy center, and just sit there. Number nine, they threw this one in, aromatherapy. And it's important because when I am having sort of this kind of funky day, I will go and grab my lavender or this oil that we sell at the spa called Calm Mind. And I'll smell it. And even at night, I'll put it on my hands and my face because it takes me back to actually not our spa, but the spa that I went to with my friend to research on how to open a spa. And that was the smell that takes me back there where we had a lot of fun and it was great. And so that's bringing my field up as well. Okay, number 10, play. The guides always say, you humans, you take yourself so seriously. They want us to joke, have fun, play. And you know what's interesting is, like, how many times have you walked by a swing set and you really wanted to go jump on the swing? Oh, just do it. It doesn't matter what other people think, because all the other adults by the swing are thinking, oh, wow, I kind of wish I could do that too. How fun would that be to just jump on a swing and just start swinging? So they want us to play. And, you know, they said that recess, when we were young and we'd go on the playground, that's something we always looked forward to. We couldn't wait for recess. So the guides say, well, gosh, give yourself recess. Go and have fun. Maybe your recess is going to see a funny movie, reading a funny book, going down a sliding board. And the final thing, number 11, they said, is to get plenty of rest. If you have to take that afternoon nap, go take that afternoon nap. Just the rest is very, very important, and turning off that chatter in our brain is extremely important. Okay, so that's all I have. I'm going to give you some websites. We talked about Lee Carroll. He has cryon.com, K-R-Y-O-N. I would go on that website because he is just a really neat guy. He channels an entity, and an entity is just a group of energies and called Cryon. He wrote the best-selling book, The Indigo Children, and I've seen him lecture 3 times. He's excellent, and he is so funny. If he comes to your town, I would definitely go see him because he is hilarious. And he works with a medical doctor that does DNA research. He has channeled at the UN many times, and so this guy's fabulous. There's another website called lightworker.com, and they have a e-newsletter called Beacons of Light that you can subscribe to. And there's one that you've probably heard of called whatsuponplanetearth.com. A woman by the name of Karen Bishop will send out energy alerts. Different energy shifts are happening all the time, so she sort of has a little newsletter for that. And then there's kind of this funny website called tut.com, T-U-T. Tut.com, and you can sign up for daily thoughts from the universe. And this guy, Mike Dooley, who channels these things every day, it'll get delivered to you, and I'll get it off my BlackBerry. And it just brings me up. It makes me laugh. It's just, you know, really cute channeled sort of philosophical comments for the day. So I hope that helps. I think what we'll do now is just bring everyone in that needs to ask a question, and we'll go ahead and do that for a couple minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. You did a great job. I know you told me you had 3 hours worth of material to cover in an hour, so I just let you go, and you did a great job of getting it all in, and I really appreciate the basic message in this. What I'm getting is that you don't have to be doing healing work or be in that realm of New Age services, be a light worker.
Exactly.
And I think people get mixed up with that. They think, well, I'm not a light worker because I'm not doing Reiki or I'm not doing readings. So I think you really open the door for people to identify with some things that could give them a direction in terms of what they might be experiencing is all about. And then I also really appreciate the 3 names that you gave, that wave. I believe it's like a momentum and a wave that's been generated through consciousness where the seasoned ones who were maybe coming out of the 60s were a smaller group, and then the next wave was the millennium group is what you called it, is a little bit, probably not even a little bit, but a lot larger. And then this new wave of the newbies is a huge increase. So there's these incremental quantum leaps in consciousness in the form of a wave that's cascading over the airwaves, if you will, in our awareness and through intelligence and through our technology, and to wake up and to realize our true source and potential. And so at this point, as Patty said, we will take questions. Anybody that has a question, if you'd like to push *6 on your keypad and just state your first name and then your question, we'll take as many as we can.
Hi, this is Maruska. Yeah, I would like to ask, you have mentioned about 2012, the moving to the third eye. Are you mentioning that the third eye will be, I'm very much concerned about, for example, the opening of the Kundalini, that we work in so many energies in our bodies. Is this going to happen, the opening of the Kundalini, I mean, in the now moment, what about the third eye? Is this going to be only in the 2012? I would like to have an idea about these things that are open up in our bodies.
Well, you know, what's interesting, it was just probably yesterday and this morning that I sort of got that data about that throat and third eye, because I was always... hearing, I gauge everything by the emails that I get from people and phone calls. And, you know, for a while there, so many people were having digestive problems, a good 3-4 years ago up to, you know, even last year. What I've noticed with right away with 2012 is it's one heart thing after another, after another, after another. And most people are getting this stuff checked out, and it's okay. It's just their heart palpitations or whatever. So then I just thought, oh, gosh, you know what? My intuition is saying, because everything is quickening and the energy is quickening and this shift of 2012 is coming, I feel like that energy is going to start moving up with not only light workers, but with many people on the planet. And it has to do with the frequency of the planet speeding up. But I feel that 2011 will probably start moving up with throat, and then 2012 with the third eye. But what I feel is going to happen there is it's going to be this massive opening up of intuition and, like you said, the kundalini energy. So I don't think people are going to start having, like, severe headaches there or whatnot, but I have a feeling they're going to start noticing what I do. My third eye will always buzz or vibrate, or it feels like someone is tickling me there, and I've just gotten so used to that. It was funny because I had a facial a while back, and this lady used this ultrasound type thing, electronic thing on me, and it was fine along my cheeks and this and that, and she ran this thing over my forehead, and I just about jumped out of my seat. And she's like, oh my gosh, I forgot, you're a medium, I need to turn the frequency down on that. So even she knew, the lady was doing a facial. And so there was something when she ran this electrode thing over my third eye. I have a feeling that it's really going, what's going to happen in 2012 is that it's just going to start opening up people's intuition and third eye more than we will even can even realize. For example, not that all of us are going to go off and talk telepathically to each other, but we're starting to see that in these young kids, especially kids that aren't speaking right away, and maybe everything else checks out with them physically and emotionally and socially, but they're just not speaking till like they're 5 or 6. And what's happening is that they feel that they don't need to because they can communicate telepathically. And a lot of, especially with their mothers, and my nephew and his wife are going through this exact same thing. And they're the kid who's 4, well, the mother can telepathically say, go get that red ball. All of a sudden the kid's off getting the red ball. So I don't feel like, you know, we're going to see a whole bunch of brain tumors or anything in that third eye. It's just going to, that shift of 2012, is that's where that shift of consciousness is going to happen. And it's going to be this big blowout of intuition, which I feel like it's going to be a good thing. There's so many doom and gloom people out there. I don't feel that at all. It feels very good to me. Will there be people exiting the planet by then? Yeah. There will be more things like the earthquake in Haiti and whatnot. And you can read more about that stuff with the Cryon information. But, yeah, there will be people that vibrationally are not matching the frequency and the beating up of the planet, and their soul says, I can do better, I can do my work in light versus in the physical. So they are going to choose to exit. I really feel like it's going to be a good thing. I hope that helped answer your question.
Yes, but the Kundalini would be like around the 2011, right? That's what you mean?
Yeah, 2012. Well, what I noticed is, too, with the guides always say everything is subtle. I think we always expect some big boom thing to happen on a certain date or whatever. Everything's subtle, and everybody moves through these dimensions at their own pace. And so if you want some more information on that kind of material, I would go to a man by the name of Carl Franklin. His website is on Cindy's metaphysical, and he's part of that group. His website is, Our Spiritual.
Our Spiritual what?
Ascension.
Ascension.
Ascension. Mm-hmm.
Ascension, yeah. You can find his link on Metaphysical Wisdom. And he talks about the dimensions, the third, fourth, and fifth dimension of consciousness, of where people are. Everybody's in sort of a different percentage depending on their work here and their thoughts. And so you know, sometimes in our humanness we expect some big thing to happen on some big date or whatever, but the guides always say everything is subtle, very subtle. And so what I even noticed is I was one of those people that had to get the colonoscopy and the endoscopy and nothing was wrong. And then now I'm having heart problems, and I had to wear a heart monitor all day Tuesday. And so I'm having some arrhythmia and some other things. And so I thought, gosh, I thought I could be exempt. And the guys are like going, no, you can't. So some of my friends are going through the same thing. So that's where I gauge kind of where maybe the light workers are, depending on the phone calls and the emails that I get from people.
Yeah, I like that answer, too, because what you're saying is everybody's at a different level, and some people's Kundalini hasn't even awakened, so it has, you know, they're not going to experience the same thing, and everybody's going to be going through their own individual ascension as we do a collective one. And so I think that was an appropriate answer, and I thank you for your question, Maruska. I just want to
thank
make
you
one
very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Would you mind just repeating the website that you said, onplanetearth.com? I didn't get the first word.
Yeah. It's called What's Up, like W-H-A-T.
Yeah, I got to interrupt you again. I'm sorry, but I just got this email from Karen Bishop, and she changed it from What's Up on Planet Earth. It's now called EmergingEarthAngels.com.
Oh, now if you go to What's Up on Planet Earth, will it link over to this Emerging Angels?
Probably, but she calls her new updates aren't called What's Up on Planet Earth anymore. They're called Wings, and it's about our ascension. And I can forward this to you if you'd like. You're on her newsletter though, so you probably just got it as well.
Yeah.
But
so it's What's on Planet Earth.com. Is this the website?
You can try that, whatsuponplanetearth.com, but also check emergingearthangels.com.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Quickly, I would like to have Patty's email or website.
Oh, yeah, it's my email is Patty, P-A-T-T-I, at feelingforhealing.com, which is the website. Feeling, for is F-O-R, and healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.
I came on at 1:11, and I probably missed it. I think that's significant.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
You have been very helpful. I spent most of yesterday doing research, and I can corroborate what you are saying by two scientists. One is Michael E. Salla, S-A-L-L-A, who is a Ph.D., on EXOPOLA. ITICS.org. And he mentions a MATT, MATTBATTROS. It has to do with the galactic alignment coming in 2012 and that energy increasing our intuition. And my dreams have all been about intuition in the past week. And thank you for telling me that my heart palpitations are okay. I'm Christine, and I live in Sterling Heights, Michigan.
Oh, well, very nice to talk to you. Thanks for the validation. Sorry you're having the palpitations, but when I talked to Carl Franklin about all of this, actually, he helped me feel better because he said, hey, it's a good thing that you're having these palpitations because that's just your sign that you're in that ascension process, and the physicals just got to catch up to your energy body, that's all.
Well, my daughter is a nurse in a heart cath lab, and my husband is a heart patient, and I didn't think I had the problem, and I'm thinking, I'm in this energy, but I kind of watch the coffee and the tea. That's probably something else. You don't need to overstimulate yourself. But are you still in Grand Rapids?
Yep.
Okay. Are you part of the Celtic John Davis group? Or?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
The Coptics.
Coptic,
Carl
rather.
Franklin is a member of the Coptics and John Davis, and they're very, very good friends of mine. I don't do a whole lot at their center, but I just, Denise Iwana, she's fabulous. They're really great people, wonderful people.
And Marianne... what's her name? Marianne something.
Yeah.
I'm a theosophist at the Detroit Lodge, so I just have interconnected with all these people. And today I was busy with other things, but my guides kept saying, you got to get on the phone. So I appreciate everything you did. Bye-bye to all of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
for your
you.
Comments.
I have a question, please.
I love the 111 thing. She got in a...
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
Thanks for listening to your guides. Yeah, someone else mentioned they have a question. Go ahead.
Well, number one I wanted to know, is this call being recorded?
Yes, it is.
And where do I listen to it again?
You'll find it on metaphysicalwisdom.com.
Okay.
And if you're subscribed to the newsletter, you'll actually receive a newsletter on Monday with a link to the recording.
Okay.
And if you're
and
not,
I have...
just go to the website and download the MP3. It'll be up by Monday.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. I just wondered if you had any certain message for me. I feel like I'm supposed to ask that.
Yeah, I don't know if this is your message or not, but I did get a message for somebody that's on the line. And so maybe I could talk to you. Can you send me an email, and I'll give you a call back when this is over?
Okay.
Because I do have a message for somebody.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm supposed to say that, so I said it. I will do that.
What's your
Thank
first
you.
Name?
My name is Lori.
Okay.
So thank you for all this information. I'm so on board.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, send me an email at patty@feelingforhealing.com.
Okay.
Phone number, and then I'll call you because I do have a message for somebody, and that might be yours.
Okay. Thank you so much. And yesterday I did have that heart thing happen, and I was like, anymore I don't. You know, whatever happens, I just figured it's part of the whole process. But that happened yesterday, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
So thank you for the validation.
I thought, why do I have to go through this? Come on. It's like, yeah, you have to go through this because, hey, hello, it shifted up. It shifted from the second and third chakra up to fourth. And so I'm like this walking testimonial. I had a Holter monitor on for 24 hours. So I'll have to get my results, but I'm trying not to worry about it because I know it's an energy thing. And, so I'll give you a call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
and thank you for doing this call. It's awesome, just to be in the company of people that understand me.
Are you the Lori from Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, I just taught this at a Piece of the Universe in Scottsdale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm going to do more classes out in Scottsdale. So I'll put you on my mailing list and let you know when I'm out in Arizona again.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's nice to actually take the class because then you can connect with people. And when they all introduce themselves and talk about their heart problems and their stomach problems, you won't feel alone.
Yeah, it's just good to be in the company of people of like vibration.
Yes, and there's no judgment. That's what I love about teaching these classes. You know, somebody could introduce themselves and say, well, I have a green alien behind me, and everybody's going to go, oh, okay, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, okay, well, awesome. I look forward to that.
Okay, thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I would. This is Mariska again. I would like to ask you, would that be possible that I'll also send you an email? I had problems with my heart as well that happened through all these years that I have been doing the work with humanity, and also my bladder, and I have lost everything that I have, everything. I am living great pressure, and I'm being hearing this is about limited consciousness. But I had never had this in my life at all. So I don't know really, that maybe I'm just being a channel for the healing of what you said, a global healing. But I had never had all these problems of limited consciousness. On the contrary, you know, these problems with bladder and things.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you might fall into that category that I mentioned before where some of the light workers experience hardships and, you know, a lot of times you've signed up for these obstacles before you even came here in order to overcome them. And then sometimes we get here and we're going, oh, what was I thinking? So, yeah, send me an email and we'll talk about it. We'll talk via email.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, I would just like to invite anybody who resonated with this call today to go to Patty's website and make contact with her either by sending an email or signing up for her newsletter, and that way you can stay in touch with her and receive her updates, and she'll be letting you know when she's doing teleclasses like this or be in your town, and then also check out if you're interested in doing a personal reading with her. The information is also on her website. So thank you for being with us today and listening and sharing your energy and your comments with us. Patty, any final words before we close the call?
Oh, I just want to thank everybody for listening in, and please feel free to email me if you have any comments or questions, and I'd be happy to respond back to you. I usually do right away. I'm always looking at my email, so that's the best way to get a hold of me. So anyway, thanks, everybody. I really enjoyed it, and thank you, Cindy, for allowing me to do this today.
Of course. My pleasure. It'll always be an open invitation for you to come and share what you're up to with us in this community, and thank you for being one of the supporting founding members.
Thank you. I'm enjoying it.
All right. Keep shining your light, girl.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you so very much for everything.
Bye. Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.